Why we need good judgment and truth. Looking at the events that have been taking place in the world and in the United States, we asked the question, what's going on? How are these things taking place? And when we heard that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was going to be moved from Gitmo to New York City to be tried in a civilian court, everyone knew that this was an insane judgment. In fact, even the commentator said, this is the worst judgment that an American president has made. Now, you tie all of that on with all of the other things that are happening, and we need to ask the question, what is going on, and how is this coming down so fast? Especially right on the heels of the terrorist shooting in Fort Hood, Texas. What is going on? All right, let's come to Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25. Let's see what this tells us that is happening to the world. And as we're turning there, remember that when Jesus was tempted by Satan the devil, Satan told him, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all the nations of the world, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomsoever I will. So what is happening? Why are these events taking place? Why do we hear the imminent, or however close, bankruptcy of the United States is taking place? And as I mentioned in the sermon before this, for every dollar of taxes coming in, the federal government is paying $2.38 out. Think of that. How long can that go on? Why are we so blinded to these things? Why do we hear words from a president that you think mean one thing, but mean another to him? What is going on? Well, as we've covered before, a lot of this is punishment because of the sins of the people. And the question is, as I asked last week, will fickle Israel repent enough that God will push some of these events off into the future a little further? Now, here in Isaiah 25 and verse 7, he will destroy in this mountain, that is, when Christ returns and sets up the kingdom of God and the government over the world, the face of the covering which covers all people and the veil that is woven over all nations. Now, this agrees with what Revelation 12:9 says, that Satan the devil has deceived the whole world. And he has done it by lies. He has done it by deceit. He has done it by the kind of judgments and practices that we see coming out of not only the government in the United States, but the governments in the world. Now, let's come back and let's see some things here in the book of Proverbs. And what we need to do and how we need to lead our lives and we hope that there will be enough repentance by enough people that God will certainly hear. God honors repentance whenever anyone repents. That doesn't mean it's repentance unto salvation. It just means repentance from their sins. So let's come here to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 5. Because what this is a battle between righteousness and wickedness, between truth and error, between truth and lies. And there's just a pall, a covering that covers most people in the world. There are some few who understand some of the truths. There are some few who know that things are not going right, but how much leverage and how much power they have to stop it, we don't know. Proverbs 13 and verse 5, the righteous hates lying, but the wicked one is loathsome and comes to shame. Now, eventually, righteousness will win. But unfortunately, as we have learned in the book of Isaiah, that within the midst of all of this evil going on in the world, there is a small remnant that God is working with, that he is dealing with, that he is concerned about, and they are important to him. Well, let's continue on here in verse 6. Righteousness guards the one who is upright in the way, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. So that's what we're seeing here in America. It's like we have covered before. As God judges the nation, he weighs in the balance the number of people that are righteous and the number of people that are wicked, and so judges the nations. And we're right now hanging in the balance. What will the people do? Will they really change? Will they really repent enough? What is going to happen? Or will the continued correction and elimination of our government continue at this breathtaking speed that we're seeing right before our eyes? And I was reminded this morning was that, remember years ago when Nikita Khrushchev came to the United Nations and took off his shoe and beat it on the desk and said, "We will bury you." And we said, when the Berlin Wall fell, we buried communism. But did we? Or is it more coming to the fore than ever before? All right, come down here to verse 23. So here's what happens when things are not done correctly. Verse 23, the second half of it. But there is that which is destroyed for lack of judgment. That's what we're seeing. Lack of judgment in the Congress, lack of judgment in the administration, lack of judgment by those who are supposed to be the religious teachers, lack of judgment in people's lives. They don't know which end is up. They don't know, you know, they ran a survey and said, who's the vice president of the United States? And most of them didn't know and laughed about it. And that's the attitude that's out there. So just like it is right now, spending in debt so much, 238-1, is destroying because there is no judgment to stop the deficit spending. All right, come across the page here to chapter 12 and verse 19. So here's what's going to happen here. Oh, let's go back to verse 17. Verse 17, he who speaks truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. And that's all we seem to hear and see coming out of the government, coming out of the world leaders. Look at the UN. Terrible example. There are those who speak like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise heals. The lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Now let's see how long that moment is. Let's see what's going to happen. Because you see, just like Hitler said, or was it Goebbels, the bigger the lie, the more often you repeat it, the more people will believe it. And that which they hear first is what they believe. And so I forget who said it, but they said this: truth travels at 25 miles an hour. Lies travel at 500 miles an hour. And that's what we see going on. And today, in the speed of light, because it's all digital and recorded. Now we need to think about what's going on, because verse 20 tells us, deceit is in the heart of those who imagine evil. And we still don't know what's in the heart of those who have won the election with a supermajority. And we still don't know what's in the heart of those 36 czars who have been put in place over the cabinet members. We're not told. but to counselors of peace there is joy. Now, since we're in Proverbs, let's come to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. This also tells us an awful lot about politics and judgment and so forth. Now, think about the upcoming trial in New York City. What if you get a radical left-leaning judge who says, this man, because he would consider waterboarding torture, was tortured. Therefore, all the information he gave you after being tortured is null and void and can't be used as evidence against him. And remember, he was released from Egyptian prison because they couldn't convict him, though he was the ringleader of the assassination of Anwar Sadat for signing the peace treaty with Israel. Same man. So anything could happen. Any volunteers to go on the jury? Probably say, no, I don't want my home blown up by a suicide bomber. I don't want to be shot on the street. All right. Verse 23, Proverbs 17. A wicked man takes a bribe out of the bosom to pervert the ways of justice. And isn't that exactly what is happening with the spending of the money, the deficit spending that is going on? Where is it going? What is happening? How is this being set up in an international banking system? What is going to happen to our economy? What is going to happen to the employment situation? How are these things going to come down? We don't know. We don't know. Come over here just across the page. Proverbs 19 and verse 28. An ungodly witness scorns justice. Now, we could take that at an individual level where we have corrupt prosecutors, corrupt defense attorneys, corrupt officials, corrupt judges. A lot of people put into prison that shouldn't be there, and a lot of people who should be there are not there. And the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. But notice this concerning judgment. Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the backs of fools. Well, that's where we are, seeing it happen right before our eyes, needing judgment. Now, we'll talk about righteous judgment. Now, if you don't have the series that we've done on it, Judge Righteous Judgment, by all means write for it, because that tells you what needs to be done. All right, Proverbs 28 and verse 5. Proverbs 28 and verse 5. And you know, isn't it a shame that news gets so bad that you don't even want to watch it? Now, that's the height of deceit, isn't it? Because you won't know what's going on. And there's some few honest men out there who want to do right. You take one of the telecasters on CNN, Lou Dobbs. He resigned. He quit. He said, so long. Bye-bye. Sayonara. I'm gone. I can't speak the truth here anymore. And there are too many people after me, so I am not going to take it any longer. Where he goes, I don't know. But you see, there is one man who spoke the truth enough that it would wake people up, who has been eliminated because of the pressure against him. They probably wanted to get rid of him. That's why they put the pressure on him. All right, Proverbs 28 and verse 5. Well, let's go back to verse 4. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. That sound like politics? Sound like religion? Yes. But notice, but those who keep the law contend against them. The unfortunate thing is, there are so few people who keep the law. There are many who have some values, moral values, and all those moral values have to be based upon the laws of God. So they do contend with them. They do speak the truth as far as they know the truth. Now, they may not know the truth of God, but at least that's what they intend to do. Verse 5, Evil men do not understand justice or judgment. They don't understand it. They live in their own narcissistic world, and their artificial realism that they create in their own minds is what they are going by. And everybody else takes the back seat. But those who seek the Lord understand all things. So we can see it. We can understand it. We can see what we need to do. We can see how we need to do it. And how important it is that we love God, keep His commandments, love each other, and continue doing the things that we're doing. And not let anything deter us. All right, let's continue on here. Let's come to the book of Hosea. Book of Hosea, chapter 10. Hosea, chapter 10. So here's what's happened to us. Here's how we started out. Verse 1, Hosea 10. Israel was a luxuriant vine, yes, leaded the world, which produced fruit freely. And we did. We've done more to bring good to the world, to help people, to lift nations out of war and poverty. We have done more to put down dictators and tyrants than any other nation in the world. Luxuriant vine. Everyone looked to America, the leader of the world. We had moral standards. We had ethics as far as the world was concerned. And one ambassador said one time, you know, the difference between the United States and other nations of the world is this. You have God. You have God in your constitution and in your laws. Most of the other nations do not. He said, that's why you're blessed. And now we're turning our backs on it and we're losing those blessings. According to the multitude of his fruit, he has increased the altars. That means going astray with religious things instead of serving God. Accordingly, they have made beautiful images after the goodness of his land. Idolatry. Their heart is divided. And that's the first thing that happens. When you have your thoughts divided, and the Bible talks about double-minded person. And a double-minded person is one who wants to continue in sin and expect the blessings of God. Double-minded person is one who has enough religion that when they get in trouble, they run to God, but they're far enough into the world that they can avoid him until they get in trouble. That's double-mindedness, and this is what has happened. Their heart is divided. Now they shall be guilty. He, that is God, shall break down their altars, and he shall spoil their images. And that means we're under God's judgment. Think about everything that you see in America and Britain and the Western world today. That is all because of punishment for leaving God. Our enemies have been set against us. They have infiltrated us in every area. And as far as the radical jihadists, the Islamic fascists, they've infiltrated even Homeland Security, FBI, CIA, the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guard, everything. Will there be any more of the things like was at Fort Hood? Now you see what happens when a person takes citizenship as an American. He is to renounce allegiance to any king, any government, any potentate. And if they have allegiance to Mohammed or the Pope or anyone above the allegiance to America, then they are the ones who could become problems. And that's how you infiltrate and undermine. So we don't know what's going to happen. I heard a comment on the radio this morning going up north. A man saying, well, I'm certainly glad that we're not going to put all Muslims in the service under surveillance now, because that would be un-American. Oh, really? How many are in there who are un-American in heart and are taking advantage of the things waiting for the day that they can do another thing, like the massacre and the terrorist attack at Fort Hood. We don't know. We don't know. Verse 4, they have spoken words swearing falsely and making a covenant. Now, we just heard before we started what may happen with the Copenhagen Agreement that is coming up this December. There are many signs which show that this is starting of a world government actually saying there will be a world government. Well, it's kind of like I said with the Mark of the Beast when it first came out with the digital angel. And I said, the Mark of the Beast is here. Everyone got all excited. They wondered how soon it would be implemented. And I said, look, it'll take years. Because this will then become very natural in the time that it is accepted by the people. Just like world government. You've got to hear it to knock down the barriers that are there. So they're going to hear it. But that's their goal. And it's going to take place because that's what the prophecies of the Bible say, because of the deception that covers the whole world like a woven web. They have spoken lies, swearing falsely, in making a covenant. That judgment springs up like hemlock in the furrows of the field, meaning that their judgments are so bad it's like drinking hemlock. Here, drink this, it will help you. This will make you strong. This will make you vigorous. And you drop dead. So that's what it's referring to. It kills everything all around. Now let's come to another minor prophet, Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Go forward a little bit. That's just before Zephaniah, Habakkuk. Sometimes we don't read these, but there's some very interesting things that are here. Now, here's what's happened when you have wicked people with other agendas who are running their own agenda. They don't tell anybody else. They don't tell you what's going on. How many times have they, how many have heard of Ron Paul? Oh, all of you have heard it. What are you told about Ron Paul? Well, he's a kook. Well, he has some ideas which are not good. He has other ones which are good. And he's been trying for years to audit the Federal Reserve, which would be a very good idea because we don't know how much they have and how much they hold a stranglehold against the government. See, because it's not a federal bank. It is an independent international banking system that creates money for the United States government by lending it to the government on which they must pay interest. What a deal, huh? That's how money is created. So yes, they'd be willing to have all this debt because when it comes due, they own everything. And that's how you enslave people. All right, Habakkuk, first verse. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet saw. When you watch the news, do you feel burdened? I did. I felt burdened. I was watching the report of this decision to send this Sheikh Mohammed to New York City for trial. I don't know how that's going to come out. And then the president didn't have enough courage to stand up and really enunciate it. He gave it to his secretary Holder, Secretary of the Justice Department, then ran off on a trip on Friday. Always do the bad things on Friday, so by Monday they'll forget it. See, because what do you have between Friday and Monday for people to forget? Well, you've got all of the goings out on Friday night, the dances, the cocktail parties, and then you've got basketball and football and hockey, and then on Saturday you have all of the college games, and then on Sunday you have football from, 10 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night, and then Monday night you have Monday night football, and by Tuesday you don't even know what's gone on. You may remember the scores, you may remember the outstanding plays, but you don't know what's going on in the world, see? So it's a burden. Verse 2. Maybe you felt like this. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Oh, God, answer. What's going to be done? I cry out to you of violence, and you do not save. Why do you show me wickedness and trouble? For destruction and violence are before me, and there is strife and contention rises up. Look at all the difficulties that are there. Therefore, the law has become ineffective. So what do they do? When the law becomes ineffective, well, get rid of that law because no one's keeping it. Just like they're saying now. All the tax money is going down. Where are we going to get the revenue? I know what we'll do. We'll legalize marijuana and tax it. Isn't that a great idea? Look at the money we will have. See? And further destroy the people. Isn't that true? And even Schwarzenegger, you know, is, well, I'm leaning that way. But with a $25 billion deficit facing the California government again this year, he may lean real hard. But just think what that will do. How can you charge someone for driving drunk under the influence of marijuana if it's legal? Now, they tried it in Holland, but destroyed the country. They tried being nice to the Muslims in Holland and in Denmark, and someone makes a remark against Muhammad, and you're targeted to be killed. Yes. Why do you show me wickedness and trouble, for destruction and violence are before me? There is strife and contention rises up. Therefore, the law has become ineffective, and judgment does not always go forth. And you think, how could they judge that? And you can see it in many judgments. Look at some of the judges that, look at the case back there in, in Minnesota? Or is it Wisconsin? Cleveland, Ohio. Where this man was let out of jail, he was a known sex offender, committed rape, and now they found out that he killed 11 women, stuffed their bodies in various parts of the house, you know, and one woman, she kept complaining, I smell this smell, I don't know where it's coming from, what is this? So she changed all the plumbing in her house, changed all the toilets in her house, she thought, well, maybe it's coming up out of the sewer. But it was the neighbor who had 11 decomposing bodies stuffed in his house and buried in the ground. Nobody knew anything. How did they let this man go? God says, execute him. Eliminates the problem, right? And as I've said before, what's going to happen when they don't have enough money to take care of those in prison? And they have to let them out. They can't let them stay in prison and starve to death, which some people might think would not be a bad idea. What's a society going to do then? They're going to come out on a rampage and say, hooray, I'm going to come out here and take all that I want. They're going to kill, they're going to steal, they're going to rob, they're going to plunder, they're going to take. There will be no jobs because there will be 25% unemployment at that time. So what's going to happen then? See what happens when there is not the judgment that needs to be? See what happens when there's perversion of judgment? Therefore, judgment goes forth perverted. Isn't that something? Verse 5. Look among the nations, behold, and be amazed and stunned. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, even if it is declared to you. Not only the work of preaching the gospel, but the work of letting the evil judgment come on this world and all nations and all people. Now, let's look at some things concerning the wicked. This becomes very important because there are more wicked people than righteous. Now, there are a lot of good-hearted people out there who want to do well. There are a lot of people who think that, you know, these things are horrible. But in their own lives, what do they have? They have grievous sins themselves. And all of that is added to it. Let's come to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. See, wickedness has the upper hand today. Wickedness in high places. Wickedness in places of judgment. wickedness in the halls of Congress, in the state houses, wickedness in the homes of individuals, see. And God sees all of this. God knows what's going on. Isaiah 57 and verse 20. And people don't know. What's wrong with their lives? Where are they going? What's happening to me? They're not satisfied with anything. Divorce, remarriage, live-ins, live-outs, homosexuals, lesbians, all of that. And their lives are all upside down, and they don't know what's going on. Well, here's why, verse 20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest, and its waters cast up mire and dirt. Good description, you know. Instead of clear flowing water out of a spring type of righteousness, here comes all this dirt. Here comes all this muck. Here comes all these ruined lives. Here comes all the broken emotions and broken lives and broken kids and broken people. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Yet they go here, yet they go there, yet they go everywhere, trying to find some peace, and they can't find it. Now here's what God says. Isaiah 58. Because of this. Here's what we're to do. Here's what our lives are to show by what we do, and if people ask us questions, we let them know straightforward. And if they're not willing to listen, just say, well, look, I'm going to tell you some things that may sound hard to take on the surface, but I'd like you to please listen, and maybe this could help you. But as far as those who are responsible for teaching, this is what we're to do. And as I've mentioned before, there are some radio personalities, Mike Savage, and he actually preaches from the Bible from time to time, does quite well with it, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Ed Levine, and many others who are out there saying, this is wrong, that's wrong, this is not right. Put in Glenn Beck in there too. And here's what they're doing. Cry aloud, spare not. I think the one who's doing that more than ever is Glenn Beck. After he had his operation and he had to stay home for 5 days to recuperate it, he came back and he said, I was ready to explode and lose more of my insides than the appendix that was taken out to hear all of this foolishness going on. And he said, from now on, I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to get those who know the truth. And he also has told people, you need to return to God and get on your knees and repent and fast. So God is using them in a way to warn. And the question is, where's the church of God? Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a ram's horn. You ever heard a ram's horn? Very irritating. What do you want to do when you hear it? You want to plug your ears. And I remember when we were down in Houston, we were in the Holiday Inn, and right next to us was another group that was meeting, and they actually blew the ram's horn. And on that sermon, you could hear the ram's horn through the wall, and they didn't stop. So we had to just suspend services, run down to the manager and say, hey, you know, we appreciate the room, but our neighbors are blowing ram's horn. Can you get us another room? So they sent us down the hall. But they kept that thing going, must have been on and off for 2 hours. And when you hear the ram's horn, you want to get away from it. One thing about a ram's horn, it gets your attention because it's never on key. And do what? Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. That's why we have Bible Answers. That's what we are going to do. And it's going to be dedicated to the truth of God, the truth of God's word, the truth of what is happening. And we have to not only warn them, but we have to ask them this. Are you a good Catholic? Are you a good Protestant? Were your parents that way? Do you think that you are a fine, upstanding person? But how much of the Bible do you know? What is your life really like? What would you say if you found out that you were doing things contrary to the Word of God? What would you say if you found out that you believed lies? And then we'll show them the lies they have believed. And the house of Jacob, their sins. Verse 2, we're religious people. We have more people going to church, but more sins percentage-wise among churchgoers. Yet they seek me daily and seem eager to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and one that did not forget the ordinance of their God, they ask me of the ordinances of justice or judgment. They seem eager to draw near to God, but they don't. They say to God, why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we afflicted our soul and you take no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you pursue your own business and exploit all your workers. What do you mean by that? Verse 4. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and strike with the fist of wickedness. You cannot fast as you do this day and expect to make your voice to be heard on high. So the question is, are you religious, but have you repented? That's the question. So then he shows the kind of fast that he wants, one from the heart, one to break the bands of wickedness. All right? Then he says, then he would be with them. He says, verse 8, then your light shall break out as the dawn, and your health shall spring out quickly, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here am I. If you take away the yoke from among you, and the pointing of the finger, and speaking malice, and if you draw out your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in darkness, and your gloom shall be as the noonday. And God will be there to restore you. But notice the condition for it. Notice the condition for it. God says what to do. Here's the first thing to do. Now, are you ready for this? If you think you're righteous, if you think you're Christian, if you think that you are a good Catholic and everything is all right between you and God, notice verse 13. If, condition, you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your own desires on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor pursuing your own desires, nor speaking your own words. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to keep the seventh-day Sabbath called Saturday today as a day to worship God? Even if it's just in your own home. Even if you are all alone and there's no one else, God sees you and knows you. That's where you have to start. Forsake your other sins. Repent of them. God will forgive you. But if you want to get on God's side, here's how you do it. God will never come to your side unless you're on his side first. And most people don't understand that. They want God to come on their side. Well, God's not going to do it. Notice what'll happen. It'll really be something, like I told a man who said, well, how will I know that the Sabbath will benefit me? So I told him this, because he had never kept the Sabbath. I said, you do this. Keep the Sabbath every week for a month. And every week on the Sabbath, study about the Sabbath day. And at the end of the month, you will know why you need to keep the Sabbath. And I'll come back and see you after the fourth Sabbath. And the first thing he said when he met him, he said, I understand the Sabbath. See? So are you willing to do that? Notice what will happen in verse 14. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the inheritance of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God has promised blessings. Yet your pastor in your church says if you keep the Sabbath, you're under a curse. Now, who's lying? God or the man in the pulpit? You have to choose what you will do.